Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to learn how acupuncture is an effective natural treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. That's in the Medical Association of Lombard in Italy, published in Medical Acupuncture. Then today, I'm going to do a series of shorter discussions, continuing with our deconstruction of the systemic rot within Wikipedia involving health issues. We'll give you more proof by taking you behind the scenes from individuals who are supplying us with data. We're being flooded with people from inside Wikipedia sharing their inner communications. This is behind the scenes where you are not privy, showing you that they take on topics to attack with malice, and that's all against their bylaws. So we're going to have a call to action today, and I'll tell you a little later what we would like you to do now that we've written 55 articles on Wikipedia. Also today, I'm going to take on some very important issues. The shocking sex trafficker interview. It's a short interview, but I'm going to show you how it ties in to current identity politics. Also, I want to bring you up to date on Julian Assange. Yesterday, there was a hearing, and this was at Westminster Court in London, and John Pilger was there. So we're going to give you that input. Also, there is a lot of interest in members of the royal family to deal with global warming, and that's good. I fully support that. But then there's the contradiction where they fly in private jets four times in 1 week to go on vacation. So which is it? You're concerned about global warming, but you're not concerned about your own contribution to that? So there is hypocrisy. So a major television program in Great Britain discussed this, and I thought you'd like to hear what they had to say. Also, for all of you using aspartame, the artificial sweetener, in hundreds of different products, soft drinks and potato chips, we want to give you a 3-minute short discussion of how it's actually made. And yesterday, at least on the archive, you will hear the full version of my testimony under oath to a whole board of medical doctors downtown in a government building on the subject of mandatory vaccines. Time permitting today, I'll play you the second part, and this is where I was asked would I come out to Trenton, New Jersey, to the state capitol, and challenge them to a debate. So I'm out there offering them an opportunity to talk why they support mandatory vaccines, and I had cases, I mean literally thousands of peer-reviewed studies I took with me to show them that whatever argument they gave, the actual science went against them. All that's on today's program, and we begin always with the latest on health and healing. And a recent study found that acupuncture is a very promising treatment for improving the physical and psychological health of people who have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And this was done because there were a lot of victims in Italy who had lived through a 2016 earthquake in central Italy. And we forget about these things. We forget about the people in Puerto Rico. If you're reading the major media, it's there for a few days and gone. But the consequences of a hurricane aren't gone in a few days. They can last years. Not just not having drinkable water or sanitation or food or medical treatment when you need it, and 70% of that still lingers today. And that's because of corruption of our government, FEMA, and corruption at the local political level there as well. So the citizens who started protesting this summer, I fully support them in their protest. They were justified. But what about those suffering from, again, seeing your home destroyed, having no place to sleep, no water to drink, nothing? You're very vulnerable to suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. What this article is saying is that you can get relief, and that's important, from something as simple as acupuncture. And this, by the way, was, there was a, to date, from the Department of Veterans Affairs, what you have is you have a high rate of suicide in veterans. About 160,000 veterans have killed themselves. Let me put that in perspective. These people had post-traumatic stress disorder. The treatment that they're given when they're in the combat zone, still under fire, still in these places, are antidepressive and antipsychotic medication. The side effect, you look on the label, the manufacturer's own insert says, if you're taking an antidepressant, the side effect is depression. If you're taking an anti-anxiety medication, the side effect is anxiety. And in both depression and anxiety medications, suicidal ideation is also a side effect. So you're giving people the very drug that can cause them to kill themselves. And then when they kill themselves, about 20 to 22 per every 24 hours for the last 20 years, almost 30 years, more than all of American casualties in the First World War and Vietnam. And we don't look at the cause, just more treatment. So it's a big deal. And I believe that we should be doing a whole new protocol and a whole new program. And beginning in January, I will be having 10 individuals who are veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder that I'll be, they will be the first people entering our new Veterans Village. It's all built. It's a terrific place. And we're going to try to help them. And we're going to film them. We're going to interview them. We're going to use humanistic psychology and behavioral adjustments, detoxify their body from their vaccines they were given, and also use acupuncture. We have, I think, 15 staff to work with 10 people. But if it works and we're able to help them, then I'm going to stream this over the internet and ask people across this country to insist that our Veterans Administration and members of Congress and former vets take a look at what we did. We reversed it. We healed them. They can reenter society, go back to their families and jobs, and instead of putting a gun in the mouth, blowing the brains out. But because of the heavy ideology that exists, don't expect that just to be welcomed. It's not how the system works. But at least we will have proven we can help people, that psychiatry is not helping, they're hurting, and the VA is just abysmal in its failure. From the University of Graz, which is in Australia, that's G-R-A-Z, published in the peer-reviewed journal of Medicinal Food, they took a look at pumpkin seeds and what folklorists have known for a long time, that eating pumpkin seeds is good for your prostate gland. So men who are suffering from a condition called benign prostatic hyperplasia, or BPH, or enlarged prostate, you can find relief from that with the humble pumpkin seed. And European researchers investigated the effects of pumpkin seed extract on people with enlarged prostate, and it was very effective. They took 500 milligrams a day, that's a small amount, of pumpkin seed extract every day for 3 months. At the end of the study, the researchers found a 35.7% improvement in their symptoms of moderate to severe enlarged prostate. So something different. And why? Why would that be? Well, it's relatively simple. It's in the biochemistry. Pumpkins are very rich, pumpkin seeds, in zinc. And zinc is the crucial mineral that supports normal prostate function. In fact, a healthy prostate has the highest levels of zinc in your body. And that's why we need to make sure we're eating properly or supplementing to get about 15 to 20 milligrams a day. Men in particular should be concerned if you are having a healthy sex life. With every time you have an orgasm, you're secreting a lot of zinc. Just make sure that you replenish it. Also, pumpkins seeds are good because of the phytosteroids they contain, which is good. And just so you understand, BPH is a common age-related condition that affects half of all men over the age of 50 in the United States. And as the prostate enlarges, it presses against the urethra. And the bladder wall becomes thicker, making the urethra narrower. And the bladder may weaken over time and lose the ability to empty itself fully. That's what we call urinary retention, which can adversely affect the quality of your life. Now, BPH is not cancerous, but it's possible for it to develop alongside prostate cancer. So get your pumpkin seeds each day. They're great snacks for you. Also, even short periods of physical inactivity, when you're just sedentary, you're not exercising, it's damaging to your health. Two universities, Newcastle University and Liverpool University, both in the United Kingdom, did a study. And the question was, are we getting enough exercise? In fact, current activity guidelines state that adults should get at least minimum 150 minutes of moderate intense activity or 75 minutes of vigorous activity every week. I believe it should be double that minimum, 300 minutes a week of really vigorous exercise. I just think that what they're doing is they're just asking themselves, would the average American be willing to do that kind of intense exercise? And the answer is no. But those who do exercise have no problem doing really quality exercise. So the message is really for those who are not exercising, there's a consequence when you don't exercise. And you really put yourself at risk of all kinds of problems. So once again, the older we become, the more we should be exercising. It can make a huge difference in quality of life. And from Ryerson University, which is in Canada, dark chocolate can help improve bone growth in teenagers. That's correct. Why is this important? Because I'll bet there's at least 300 studies, more or less, in the peer-reviewed scientific literature on cacao or the active ingredients in cacao. So dark chocolate is now shown in its purest form, not its adulterated form with all kinds of white processed sugar and dairy, like the dark chocolate, ideally the 70%, the 80%, which is actually cacao, not other ingredients. And it's a superfood on a lot of levels. So I took a look at the scientific literature, and I found that eating dark chocolate, not a lot, as little as an ounce a day, can lower your blood pressure, can improve your cholesterol levels, can enhance brain function, and other things. And I think that's just very important. But now they found there are five studies alone that found that moderate amounts can help postmenopausal women and improve bone growth in younger women. So it's good for older women who have osteoporosis and who are greater at risk after menopause, and that can help you, and younger people too. It's got a lot of phytonutrients. So just, good information. Just make sure that you look for the healthiest kind of chocolate. Also, talking about health, Norwegian University of Science and Technology did a study that shows that you can increase your chance of recovering from depression if you change your thought patterns. What do I mean? 1 year after being treated with a, antidepressant, about 70% of the patients were still dealing with depression, but not at the same level, and 15% remained completely unchanged in this study. Well, depression is one of the most common conditions that people suffer from worldwide, and there are a lot of causes of it. And unfortunately, it is typical for patients with depression to experience relapses. And then they're asking why and what can be done. In this study, they found that there is hope. A recent study shows that metacognitive therapy significantly reduces the risk of relapse with depression. In fact, as much as a 73% improvement, that's a huge improvement when you're engaged in this. This was published in Frontiers in Psychology. And rumination actually prolongs depression. Simply put this, metacognitive, one word, therapy involves teaching patients not to respond to any of the old thoughts, which means continuously focusing on negative thoughts, things you couldn't control, things you might have done wrong, things that caused you to react in a different way that were not to your well-being. And when a patient begins to ruminate, rumination is the regurgitation over and over again, like a cow chewing its cud. It just keeps chewing all day long, the same thing in its mouth. That's ruminating, or rumination. But think how many times you think about a negative thought. It doesn't go away. But in this case, you're taught you can make a choice whether to think about the negative thought or just register that the thought is there and move on. And by becoming aware of what happens when they start to ruminate, patients learn to recognize when it's happening. Okay, I'm going into a negative mood. Let me get out of this negative mood. Let me go to a positive and put something positive in your mind. Put something that gives you happiness, joy, a challenge. We all need in our society, especially now, with the internet making so many people passive spectators and not really active intellectually, creatively. We're looking at someone else who's creative, and someone who did something, and we're just watching it. You need to put yourself in that picture, and that can help take you away from the negative thoughts and the depression. One last thing today, and this is in the University of Greifswald, which is in Germany, published in the peer-reviewed journal of Frontiers in Neuroscience. Birth control pills, as we know, have grown very popular over the years, was one of the major reasons for a lot of women being emancipated. And now there's widespread usage everywhere, and while the importance of reproductive health should be recognized, absolutely, you also have to look at the unwanted side effects and be honest and realistic. And there's a lot that occurs when you take an oral contraceptive that can affect your social judgment. Adding to the growing list of adverse effects, I want to give you some of the latest, and therefore suggest you look at other barrier methods rather than hormone blocking methods. You probably have had more studies on oral contraceptives than any other drug in history of medicine, but very little is known about the psychological and behavioral effects. More than 100 million women worldwide use oral contraceptives, but remarkably little is known about their effects on emotion, cognition, and behavior. Well, previous research has shown that women using contraception were significantly more depressed than those who don't. However, further studies said that the link between depression and contraceptive use remains still questionable. So researchers from Germany investigated the effects of oral contraceptive use on women's emotive recognition, and 42 oral contraceptive users, 53 non-users, were tasked to do an emotional recognition test that required them to identify expressions based upon subtle facial cues. The results showed that oral contraceptive users were less accurate in emotion cognition than non-users. Just one of the things we should pay attention to. I'm just bringing this to your attention. There are more headaches and migraines because there's more fluctuation in hormone levels caused by the menstrual cycle, and that can trigger these migraines. And people who experience this usually take birth control pills that contain hormones like estrogen to even out their hormones. However, hormonal birth control is usually taken as active pills for 3 weeks and inactive for 1 week. And during this cycle of inactivity, the sudden drop in estrogen causes severe headaches and migraines. Also, there can be decreased sex drive. Why? Because hormonal birth control uses hormones to stop ovulation. However, this also inhibits the production of androgens like testosterone in the ovaries. And these androgens play a key role in sexual desire and satisfaction. And additionally, birth control pills also increase the amount of sex hormone binding globulin in the body. And this protein binds to testosterone, preventing them from circulating in the body. And so you're almost 400% greater in the amount of the sex-binding hormones in the body compared to non-users. You're going to gain weight. You can increase your cancer risk. There's an interesting article in the New England Journal of Medicine that I read that says birth control can increase the risk of breast cancer by 38%. And researchers at University of Copenhagen analyzed data from 1.8 million women under the age of 50 in Denmark, and they found that there was a 9% increase in breast cancer risk among those who were using birth control. And you can increase your risk of heart disease because while birth control pills do not directly cause heart disease, they do increase a woman's blood pressure. And this alone is a very big concern. And you can end up with increasing the risk of congenital heart disease. So just suggesting that you look at the data, select a method that does not cause this, and therefore you benefit them from the protection you want, but also don't hurt yourself in the process. I'm Gary Nall. We're 22 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to first do a short clip on aspartame. This is just good information, and from there, we're going to give you an update on Julian Assange. We're going to go from the aspartame to Julian Assange because I'm looking around the media, including the liberal media. I'm looking everywhere I can to see surely the liberal media would support Julian Assange, would have protests, would write articles on his behalf and in his defense. Boy, I'm not finding it. So back in a moment because we will take it on.
Genetically modified organism feces, to be specific. I'm talking about the synthetic sweetener aspartame. The patent for it is now online for everyone to see how it's actually made. And it's actually made from the poop of GM bacteria. Here's how it's made specifically. Genetically modified E. coli bacteria are cultivated in tanks. They defecate proteins that contain aspartic acid phenylalanine amino acid segments. That feces is collected and then treated through many chemical processes, including methylation, which adds the toxic alcohol methanol to the mix. Presto! Aspartame is made. So if you like that unique chemical taste of aspartame and don't mind eating bacteria feces, it means you are free to consume so many foods and not worry about ingesting any calories, God forbid. Aspartame is in your breath mints, cereal, chewing gum, flavored water, ice creams, coffee syrups, juice drinks, power bars, pudding, ketchup, yogurt, vegetable drinks, candy, and pretty much anything that has the word diet in its name. And that includes, of course, Diet Coke. Interestingly enough, Coca-Cola has just spent a lot of money to produce ads telling you how safe aspartame is. In their ad, they say that the safety of aspartame is supported by more than 200 studies over the last 40 years. As sources, they list the Beverage Institute and the International Food Information Council Foundation. Coca-Cola owns the former, and the U.S. government is a partner for the latter. For further information about the safety of aspartame, you can visit aspartame.org, which is owned by the Calorie Control Council, which is an international association that represents the food and beverage industry. In other words, the safety information about this sweetener poop is controlled by those who profit most from it. Hardly unbiased. Meanwhile, there are hundreds of studies which link aspartame to leukemia, lymphoma, other cancers, liver damage, you name it. So if you're trying to decide whether or not you should ingest aspartame, consider using this as a rule of thumb. If it's literally made from chemically altered GMO crap, it might be crappy for your body. Tonight, let's talk about that by following me on Twitter.
How was he looking?
I was very worried about Julian. His condition was worse than I expected. He plainly is in very poor physical condition and was having difficulty in expressing himself coherently. So I knew he was unwell, but I was quite shocked by the extent of his deterioration.
One of the arguments that Julian's lawyer presented to the court today in their request for extension, because new evidence has come forth in the last few weeks. We now know, through investigations in Spain, that the CIA was basically spying on Julian's lawyers in the embassy through a contractual agreement with a Spanish company who oversaw security at the embassy. This is how grotesque things have become. This is emphasizing the political nature of the thing, that CIA was hiring people to spy on his lawyers. This is absurd. And I must say that it's depressing to see my friend in the state he is. When he stood up there and said, you know, please can I have some justice? I can't think. It's so shameful in this country, which is talking about media freedom all the time, but they forget the fact that a journalist, a publisher, is sitting in maximum security prison and he can't think. It's shameful.
Julian's lawyers want more time. Clearly they need more time. Julian himself spoke and he said that he had been denied the basic tools to prepare his own case. Denied documents, denied computer. And he spoke in a very, very weak voice. Julian's health has deteriorated since he's been in Belmarsh, and that was evident. But what Julian's lawyers, their main point is that under the extradition treaty between Britain and the United States, this extradition is unlawful. There's no question about that, because there is one very explicit statute in this treaty that says there is that no one can be extradited if they are charged with a political offence, and this under law is a political offence. What the U.S. want him for? So the whole thing should have been thrown out of court and Julian.
Was there any reaction from the judges to that?
No, there's no reaction from
the
judges.
What is the message now for all of us that we are trying to defend him and get his freedom?
Okay.
What is the message now?
What is the message? We'll keep defending him. More people out here, more people on the streets. On November the 5th, there's a big event outside the Home Office. Everyone should go to that. That's the source of the problem. And there'll be other events coming on from that.
All right, that was John Pilger. Unfortunately, they were outside in all the noise, and they didn't have professional broadcasting equipment. But what he was saying, and former Ambassador Murray was saying, that Julian Assange is very ill. He seemed disoriented. He desperately needs proper medical care. He's being kept in solitary confinement. They're treating him as bad as they would any ISIS. And yet here's a man who has never once, with 10 million documents released, ever been shown to be inaccurate in a single thing. And behind all this are the Clintons and the Clinton cabal. And that's because from within hours after the election, there were meetings with Hillary and her immediate circle, and they decided then to start a campaign to try to get Trump out of office. And the entire Mueller investigation, the Comey, and all the Strzok and all the other people at the FBI and Justice Department who was conspiring, and their colleagues in, like Adam Schiff and the rest of these people, were to get the legitimacy of the election overturned. And since that time, she's been running incognito, meaning she is going to run. And that's why she's making all these appearances. That's why she's becoming very political. And the people need her to run, because at least they can count upon, in the banking industry and all the other major industries, pharmaceuticals, she won't touch their drugs. She won't touch Medicare for everyone. She will not reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. She will not demilitarize places around the world. She will not de-escalate regime change. She will not decrease the weaponization of police into military personnel on our streets. She will not lessen the CIA's and the FBI's going after anyone who protests against the state in America. So they need her, the hundreds of thousands of people representing industries that have been supportive of her. So that's what this is really about. And Assange was the key, because he's the one who leaked the 22,000 plus emails from Hillary Clinton and her confidant, and head of her campaign, and that showed all the dirty trick. That showed all the 44 countries she's trying to get the Trans-Pacific Partnership passed in, but lying to Americans, saying, "Oh no, that wouldn't affect unions." She knew it would, just like NAFTA. She also was she was responsible for Gaddafi's death, and while he's being bayoneted rectally with a sword and killing him, and he's pleading for his life, she's cackling on television about, "We came, we saw, he died." And all of his gold, gone. All of his resources, cut up to special interest groups, all connected with Obama and that internal political machine. By the way, we have information on the publisher that gave Obama the largest book contract in world history. And for what? Why would you give that amount of money? And you'll see how much Obama did for them. It's all pay to play in Washington. That's the entire system. So where possible, we'll be exposing this. But we're going to let Richard Gale and I are going to write an article in the next week about the American liberal media betraying Assange, used his information when it suited them politically against George Bush and others, and then completely attacked him like they did Gary Webb when they exposed the truth. And now, instead of condemning the CIA and the deep state, they're hiring these people to be their commentators. This is unfortunate, and this is wrong. So we're going to keep you up to date on Julian Assange. We're going to write an article on his behalf to try to inform the public about how corrupt the current major media is. Before we go to a commentary in studio, we have this commentary. This is number 55. In our challenge to Wikipedia, but we're going to do a call to action today. So this is short, but it's important, because we were just given some documents that we've independently verified, so I'm going to share these documents. This is entitled "The Promotion of Scientific Bias" on Wikipedia. This is by Richard Gale and myself. During the past 2 years, our investigations into Wikipedia and modern skepticism focused primarily upon subjects related to complementary and alternative medicine, such as chiropractic, alternative and complementary healing, acupuncture, naturopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy. as well as things such as body-mind, meditation, for example. And we also focus upon individual practitioners and advocates of these unconventional medical systems, such as Dr. Deepak Chopra and Dr. Larry Dalsey and Dr. David Perlmutter, among hundreds. And these have all shown something in common. They show extreme bias, distortion of facts, shoddy selection of legitimate references, and systemic efforts to conceal all of this from the Internal Revenue Service, Congress, the mainstream media, and the larger scientific and medical community. What we believe is institutional corruption. Furthermore, during this period, we have composed and disseminated over 54 articles to deconstruct Wikipedia and its skeptic editors. Much of this same information has been sent to Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wales and the Wikimedia Foundation board members that controls Wikipedia. Equally important, based upon the data and evidence, the character assassination of entire groups of health practitioners, likely numbering in the tens to hundreds of thousands worldwide. This represents, in our opinion, a crime against humanity. Why? Because there are thousands of studies published in the respected peer-reviewed literature that prove that the image Wikipedia attempts to convey to the public is grossly wrong. What do I mean? Even products such as pesticides, genetically modified foods, and chemicals like glyphosate in common household products that international health bodies have declared as probable or known carcinogenics or the cause of serious illness are routinely whitewashed on Wikipedia. At the same time, Wikipedia editors, who control many of the health pages, condemn, ridicule, and vilify with animus the scientific conclusions that show alternative medical therapies can prevent and reverse life-threatening diseases. In fact, these editors have become so brazen, they brag about their skills and success in targeting living persons to destroy their reputations. Such shameful, ideologically driven activity is being supported by the Foundation's board and fiduciaries because of the personal philosophy of its co-founder, Jimmy Wales, who is aligned with the tenets of modern skepticism. Our attorneys have repeatedly provided factual documentation showing evidence for all the above to the Foundation's board members. This includes examples of individuals who control the biographical pages of living persons who are viciously attacked and who operate within a network of secret communications that are in direct violation of Wikipedia standards. Despite the evidence now in the hands of the board members, it has continued to permit this illegal activity to occur because biographies remain virtually unchanged. Unlike other legitimate encyclopedias that rely upon experts and professional scholars in their fields to generate content and have very strict rules for what and what cannot be used as reference sources, Wikipedia is far more vague and ambiguous. Consequently, the encyclopedia is riddled with tenacious and bigoted content, nor is any expertise required to edit on Wikipedia pages. To further highlight the extent of Wikipedia's problems and the depth of the systemic rot that infiltrates its medical and health pages, the following information was provided by a former editor who has worked within Wikipedia for a long time as an administrator. That's at the top of the food chain. It is now time to insist that every member of Congress and the Inspector General for the Internal Revenue Service undertake audits and open forums under oath of Wikimedia Foundation. Bring in these editors. Bring in the members of the board, the fiduciaries. Bring in the Attorney General of California, or at the very least, the written laws that absolutely are determined to keep people in compliance. Meaning, if you're a fiduciary and you're given information with proof that something has gone wrong, you have a legal responsibility to address it. In the absence of addressing it, you are personally, legally accountable. That means we're putting on notice that every member of the board, every officer of Wikimedia and Wikipedia, every editor who is engaged in the causation or the protection of this distorted and defamatory and erroneous information leveled at individuals who have discovered they have no viable recourse to correct the untruths of Wikipedia, you've been put on notice. It is the responsibility of the people listening now to share this with everyone they have on every one of their accounts, whether Facebook, and say we demand congressional investigations. Now, this will be political because they have deep, deep research and contacts within the Orthodox community. If nothing else, Wikipedia is there to protect the pharmaceutical interest and to protect the political interest. And I'm sure the favor will be reciprocal. Mr. Wells and his foundation, on the other hand, believe they can operate above the law and are exempt from the consequences of their actions. In the meantime, we continue to be flooded with new additional information, including from individuals within Wikipedia. Therefore, we are preparing litigation to hold the foundation and all of its fiduciaries and its editors who have engaged in these ongoing aspersions of living persons that has allowed for many years this to continue. Now, examples of negative bias. This is, quote, this is verbatim from what we received recently, and this is just one of many. Many people are coming forward now with information. Quote, examples of negative bias on Wikipedia alternative medical pages. There is a dedicated movement to force an orthodox skeptic view on Wikipedia. This is an effort that is well known, cataloged, and recognized as a source of misinformation and bias. There is a Wikipedia page, and it gives the page here, that organizes and instructs these skeptics to list acceptable and unacceptable ideas, share hatred of pseudo-topics, and anything in the alternative field is considered all pseudo. So you're encouraged and, in effect, conditioned to hate what you don't know, to hate the individuals you've never spoken to, never read their work. Strategize on how to rewrite those topics, but isn't that in violation? You're not supposed to create new material, but they do. Share ideological talking points. Online, quote, hit lists. You heard me right. Online hit list of articles that need to be changed to be more negative. Let me repeat that. This in itself should be cause to remove Wikipedia's nonprofit status and to remove its protections by the government so it can be sued, as it would be in any normal channel. Quote, hit lists of articles that need to be changed to be more negative. And then it goes into specific. Below are a handful of quotes from various articles on the skeptic hit list. In all of them, other editors quickly notice the skeptics inserting obvious negative bias and complain, but the skeptic editors organize and collaborate to reject all complaints in any narrative but their own. There are hundreds of quotes like this, and these are just a few samples. Then it gives samples. I won't go into these samples, but they're in the article, which is now on PRN.fm, and there's a lot of them. So many that I'm going to do another one and put up another article tomorrow. So what is the call to action? The call to action is that it is our opinion that this is a crime against humanity. Why? You've got a double negative. On the one hand, you're encouraged to take in, let's say, drugs, in medications, vaccines, and they support that. And yet they condemn and castigate that which can actually detoxify, help, prevent, and rejuvenate a person with millions of positive examples. So you got a double negative. They encourage the negative and they discourage the positive because their own ideological or political or economic or philosophical biases. And yet they're not allowed to have that. It's specifically stated you can't be biased and edit someone, and especially someone who's a living person. In studio right now is one of our staff attorneys, Neil, and Neil is here just to give a brief comment about how he has been sending all of the actual behind the pages, because we breached their firewalls. Let me repeat that. We've breached Wikipedia's firewalls. We now know who the actual anonymous editors are. We know what they say between themselves. And we sent this information to the board, the entire board, to all the officers and to Jimmy Wales. Neil, welcome. And what has been the response?
The response has been to block us from sending emails. They simply will not want to hear us, and to the extent they respond at all, they respond by giving the standard answer, well, just go to the edit pages and make your case and you'll be heard, which of course never happens. Hasn't happened for years.
How many different letters have you sent to the board to inform them of the discrepancies between what they claim they represent and what they actually do? And did you not recently send a 56-page Attorney General of California statute showing they were in violation of the very statutes of the state of California?
Yes, I did. And again, they're trying to stonewall.
Okay. And we would like to see the people in this audience become engaged, because this information affects people around the world, since it's in almost every country of the world. And what are some of the things you would suggest that people do right now?
I would suggest that they write to the members of Congress and other influential politicians and demand that a full hearing be held, because without the legal protections that Wikipedia is clearly not entitled to, they would just be nothing more than a house of cards.
All right. Now, in the normal course of business, if someone slandered a person, what is the recourse of the person that's been slandered?
To go to court and sue for damages. If Wikipedia was, say, a newspaper instead of an online platform, that would be obvious.
All right. So Jimmy Wales and the skeptic editors of Wikipedia are engaged in premeditated and ongoing attacks with people they've never met or never discussed, who have no comprehension of the importance of these people's work, and yet they believe they're all to themselves and they can get away with it. Why do you believe that they believe they can slander, libel, destroy people's reputations, then freeze that biography so no one can make any changes, and yet that's in violation of the very rules, and get away with this?
Because they are pretending that it is not Wikipedia itself that creates these entries, but independent contributors. And under the Communications Decency Act, independent contributors can post on websites, and the website itself is not responsible for what is posted. Of course, this is not what is happening, as we have proven dozens of times. In fact, there is a central control over what is and is not going to be allowed to be posted on Wikipedia, and that removes this protection, and I think it's becoming well known at this point.
So, to the people in this audience, if we want to go further to stop these people, to challenge them, to bring them to a court of law where a jury of their peers can hear the charges that we are bringing, then you've got to get Congress involved. You've got to send our articles. We have our articles. We have the letters. We're posting everything, the letters we've sent to Wikipedia, so you can see they have been made fully aware and they've not changed a single thing, because Jimmy Wales and his group of the cabal of the skeptics, these ultra-orthodox reductionists, they believe that there's only one truth, and that's their truth, and they completely threw away everything that's ever been done in alternative and complementary medicine. Is just garbage. And then they go about attacking people and relishing it. I've never seen such mean-spirited, destructive, angry people in my professional career as what I've seen these skeptics. So it's time, and we are preparing in office. I will not go further, but I can promise you that there's going to be litigation very shortly. But prior to that litigation, we want to see that the Inspector General of the Internal Revenue Service do an audit And we believe they're in violation of their nonprofit status, and we believe that Congress should hold hearings, and not just their perfunctory hearings, their dog and pony shows, but to actually challenge them and start a movement to take away that protection that keeps them from being sued, and show, and we have the evidence more than anyone else, and we will bring forward people, and we have a lot of people who've now come forward, Neil, and have communicated with you and said that they're willing to testify about what really goes on in Wikipedia.
Yes, we have.
So go to prn.fm, download the articles. This letter that we're sending today, Neil is sending this one to every member of the Wikipedia board and its fiduciaries and Jimmy Wells. Thank you, Neil.
You're welcome.
I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Gone a little bit into Latrice Lead's time. Sorry for that. She can go up to the end of the hour. Have a nice day, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.